I ask for your prayers this morning because I'm a bit emotional and I don't want to hinder the Spirit of the Lord to deliver the burden that's on our heart. I came to this meeting with needs in my life, and I appreciate the Lord's faithfulness to me, and I pray that He's also faithful to you. And come down here on Friday night, and Brother Marty got up and preached about the Lord raining on the mown grass. And I just sat there and asked the Lord to rain on me. Because all of us go through life, and we go through challenges, and we go through trials. And we need, pretty often really, but we need the Lord to come and to reign in us, and to restore in us, and to encourage us. And as I sat here this morning, and I listened to our song service, and I listened to the special songs, and that burning that comes in your heart of that communion with the Lord is what the lighthouse is all about. And if you're here this morning, and you couldn't feel that burn, and you felt the separation because Jesus passed by here this morning. And His Spirit was soft and it was gentle. And we felt His love today. And I want to tell you this morning that if somehow you've lost that, then my burden is the Lord wants to give you a new heart this morning. That the Lord wants to restore those things that somehow have gotten lost. That the Lord wants to build up places back in your life that somehow might have been torn down. And maybe in times past you felt that closeness and that communion, but somehow just through life, through circumstances, through situations, even sometimes through good intentions, we can end up in a place where we need the Lord to come in and to really restore us. I want to read a couple of scriptures this morning in Ezekiel in the 36th chapter, and I ask for your prayers again. I want to start in the 17th verse here because there was a reason that there needed to be a new heart put in place. And in the 17th verse it says, "Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt on their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanliness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries. According to their way, according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name, when they said to them, These are the people of the Lord, and are gone out forth of his land. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes." Now, there was a departure that happened here, and I want to draw the parallel a little bit in this passage that the things in this life, the gods of this world, the things that we are surrounded with, and one of the verses that was mentioned today was being in the world but kept from the world. But when our hearts go out to the things that are in this world and we begin to lose that communion with God, there is a judgment that comes and there is a separation that comes. There is a parting and there is a waxing cold, so to speak. There is a separation, and when we live in those places, there is a rebuke, there is almost a reproach on the name of the Lord in that place, because while we may have a name, while we may have a profession, but yet we live in a place where the gods of this world have overtaken us, and while we have a profession or a name, yet we don't have on hand the blessing of God in our life. And when we come to those places and we find ourselves there, the hope and the blessing of this message this morning is the Lord is the lighthouse that wants to call us back to that place, that wants to restore in us again that connection and that communion with Him where we are again His people and He is our God. And I appreciate that God, one of the messages already in this meeting talked about the church being the church. And I hope you can get a vision that God is still God. Regardless of what people do, regardless of what people say or what banner they fly under, God is still God. His name is still holy. It is still powerful. It still brings deliverance. It will still solve the problems in your life. And while you may look on and see other people that have had a profession of this or that, and maybe you didn't see that's not God. God's power in His name is still holy and it's still powerful this morning. So it can still work in your life if you turn and you give yourself to the Lord. It's a work of the enemy to cause us to see people that may have departed and then they still name a name and then we don't see the effects or the works of the blood in their life. To us, say, well, that's just the way it is then. There's no longer a cure. This is just the way life is. But no, this morning, His name is still His name. And when we call upon His name, He will deliver you this morning. He will empower your life. He will provide you with the things that you need to live successfully for Him. There is a calling that He has on our life this morning. There is a close way that He has. There is a consecration that some of the songs I was thinking of singing about loving Him like that and the worship that is there and putting our all into it. When we get to that place where we have forsaken the things of this world and embrace God, there is a blessing that comes as being His people. And I want to encourage you this morning, wherever you are, that you get a hold of this, that God's name is still holy, and though the people may do what they do, God will still answer that call. He will still lift His name up if you'll turn to it and embrace it in its entirety. We'll continue reading here. It's the 25th verse. It says, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you." This clean water, something that is not corrupt. I want to impress upon you this morning the difference between being a child of God and the corruption that is in the world. The corruption that is in the heathen land that is around us. It's been on my heart these past weeks at home, and we've been studying it, the importance of keeping ourselves separate from the world because of the corruption that is in the world. And the Lord is able this morning to cleanse that corruption. He is able with the clear water of His blood by His Spirit to restore again and to make it clean inside. And if you know what corruption is like, you see something that is dead and the skin is gone and it's corrupt, it's decayed. But God is able to take that which is corrupt and restore it to something that is new, that is something that is fresh, that something that has blood pumping through it, that has the life and the light and the power of God in it. God is life this morning. He's not death. He's not decay. He is life. And where His Spirit is, His blood is moving. And there is movement. And there is action. And there is power because it is alive this morning. Oh, Lord, help us to understand the separation and how the corruption of the world takes that life. It brings a decay. And there's a need for us. All of us, any of us, I'll just say us because it's the best way to put it, to bring ourselves in line, to make sure that we're in the place where His blessing falls, where that pure water, and if you're in a place this morning where the corruption has crept in, He is able to bring that clear water and ye shall be clean. You know this means to be pure, unadulterated, innocent, cleansed, purified. That's what the blood does. It comes in and it purifies, it cleans and it cleanses, and it brings a restoration of something that maybe in a former state even you had that relationship, but it can be restored again to an innocence before God. And I think about that in the world, and you see it. The enemy does it. He does it with singers a lot, you'll see. He'll take someone that is innocent, and they will begin to sing the songs of the world and they become an idol. But invariably, he destroys that innocence, and along with it brings a whole corruption of generation behind it. It started with Madonna, and you can go down and you can name person after person that they started as an innocent child, and he destroys the innocence by the corruption that is in the world. And we need to recognize that that's the spirit that is working, and realize that the power of God is able to bring an innocence again to the heart, even though it has been corrupted. And that's the beauty and the power of the blood this morning, is that we have been corrupt. We have been in that place. And yet when we sing that song, my soul panteth, because that water has been come and cleansed and restored. And now as I stand before God, there's a cleanliness, an innocence, a purity, a sensitivity to the things of God, because of the work of the miracle of his blood. This is the greatest miracle, to take a corrupt and a broken life that has been destroyed by the enemy and restore us back to a clear and a clean state before God. He goes on here, he says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put in within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. This is something amazing, that God is able, it's to bring his spirit and cause us to walk in his statutes, his commandments, the things that I've heard all my life, they protect you. But it's more than that. There's a power in the statutes of God. There is a rock that we build our life on this morning. And as the enemy tries to pull and to pull, recognize that it's the corruption that he's pulling you to tear those statutes down. Because if he can tear those statutes of power down, then we're vulnerable in a place where he has an avenue to move in. So this morning, if the enemy has been successful, and you know you can feel it, because when the songs go forward or when the spirit is moving, there's a deadness inside. That corruption has taken its effect, and you can look however you want to look, but if it's not alive inside, this morning the Lord wants to give you a new heart. He wants to restore that innocence within you. He wants to cause you to want to walk in his statutes, that when the things of the world present themselves, they fly in the face of what you feel is right and pure before God. Then instead of something not being a big deal, I recognize that the spirit that is within that flies in the face of what God intends in my life. And I see the corruption that is in it. I don't want any part of it, because I want to walk in this spirit and live by it, by the power of God this morning. So I encourage you. I encourage you to feel the burn that's in your heart this morning, to feel the conviction of the Spirit that draws you closer to him, and the reality and the faith that he is able to put a new heart within you. I don't care how many up and down experiences I hear, well, we don't want you to keep coming. I don't care if you need to come to the altar time and time again. Come time and time again until you get to the place where you're able to walk in consistency. But until then, you just keep coming, because God has promised us that he will cause us to want to walk in his statutes by his Spirit. I thought of the woman at the well, John, and in the 4th chapter, and in the 10th verse, I wasn't quite done in Ezekiel, but we'll get this and then we'll come back. John, and in the 4th chapter, and in the 10th verse, Jesus answered and said unto her, this woman Samaria, if thou knewest the gift of God. And I want to impress in your mind this morning that it's a gift. That this is not something that we earn. This is not something that we cause ourselves to avail because we met some expectation, because someone thought, well, this is the gift of God. This is something unearned, is unmerited favor. And when we come to that place where we realize maybe we've messed up or we've taken steps that we wish we shouldn't have, there's a place for us to humble ourselves and just recognize that it's the mercy of God and the grace of God and the gift of God to return us to that state again. This gift of God. And who it is that saith to thee, give me drink, thou would have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. Living, quick water. The difference is stagnant water and quick water. Stagnant water is something that has decay. It smells. There's no movement in it. There's typically death around it. The flies are all around it. But if you've seen, I live in the Pacific Northwest. We have good rivers and good streams. And when you walk by them, you see the life that's in it. The waterfall comes down. This was the water he was talking about. Not something stagnant in a well with all the flies around it, but something that quickens you. Something that causes you to have a refreshing in your spirit day by day. Something that causes you to have a renewed sense of life as you go along. Quick water. Something that is moving. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? I want to talk about that for a minute, because back here in Ezekiel, let me find it here. 28th verse says, ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And I confess to you that in my journey with the Lord has led me stronger and stronger. And I've shared this at home, to seek the old paths. And part of what that seeking is actually, and the best way I can describe it, and if you've heard me say it, I'm sorry, I have to listen to it again. But it's the smooth stones that I found, that my father walked in, that other people before, my grandmother walked in. Other people, you find the same tear-stained places where those that have journeyed before, the same consistencies, the same faithfulness of God. I find myself coming to the same altars of consecration and sacrifice that I witnessed in those before. And I find that God consumes that sacrifice just like they witnessed and demonstrated. So part of my burden this morning is that in your heart that you seek those places, to find those smooth stones, to enter into that. But I love this, that this God is greater than our father. Greater, are you greater than Jacob? Yes. This God is greater than your father, than your grandfather, than anyone. This is the God of our fathers this morning. So the gift that comes from him goes beyond anything that you've witnessed with your eyes in your home or around. This is greater than Jacob. His well was a well he dug, I don't know, 3 feet wide, 35 deep feet deep in the stone. Had what? That was quite an accomplishment, but this God is greater than that. Greater than the gods of our fathers. Great. This is the God of our fathers. So this morning when the enemy tells you, well, this way, it's, you know, no, God is greater than maybe some of the demonstrations that you've seen. And he is able to witness and to minister to every part of your heart this morning. He is able to answer the needs that you have. And he has the grace and the water to bring a satisfaction in your life. This is what he was bringing to her, was something that would satisfy her. He gave us as well the cattle and the children. Maybe people have drank from some wells that men have dug, but this water. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. This satisfaction that comes from our relationship with God, it brings something that will carry us all the way into heaven. It is something that will carry us through every season of life. It is something that will cause us to be able to overcome. And when the enemy sings his songs on the cliffs, as we heard about, there is something within us that binds us to the Lord. And it's this living water that sustains us. That in our trials and in our troubles, we're able to go and to find a source. Something inside that is alive. Oh, the Lord has it for you this morning. And he has, a greater portion, if I can put it that way. That there, as we consecrate and as we commit to him, he has a greater and a greater portion, a greater demonstration that he reveals himself, and those experiences build on themselves. Thinking of this land of our father, My children are half grown. I got a couple teenagers that are about to turn 18. And I think every parent in here will tell you that when you get to those places, you look back and you think, well, I could have done this different or that different. So I want to speak this morning to some of you young families to find those paths that we've been taught, to hold them close and to recognize. And I'm not talking about just traditions. These are the paths that are in the Scripture. The things we heard about, the basic principles and the teachings of the church, these are the paths that have been established by Jesus. And if you'll walk your family in those paths, you'll find the greatest safeties, the greatest peace, the greatest demonstration. And as we raise our children in those ways, then they find a real communication with God. They see a demonstration of who He is. You have a responsibility this morning. And while they're young, you don't see the effects. But as we get older, it... Let me just say this. I know I remember my father telling me of an example of a home where two brothers were raised in the exact same home. And one became a powerful minister of God and one became a drunkard. People have to make their own choices. Understand that. Our children make their own choices. And we while we pray for them and our hearts are burdened for them, we do the best we can. And then we give them to the Lord. But I will encourage you, especially those that still have an opportunity, to make as much of an impact as possible. That as you walk in these paths and you show that fleshly heart in a living demonstration, then there becomes a craving for that. And when the enemy brings, and maybe they take their trip. Maybe they leave the things of the Lord, but there is always something in there. They know that this isn't enough. There's something that pulls and that draws back because they felt and they've seen it and it was demonstrated in their parents' lives. It pulls and it draws. I've seen it demonstrated in some of the lives that I've seen that have gone on that are older. Lord, help us to get a vision, to be able to see where our choices and our decisions and our thought processes, where they lead. Thanks, Lincoln. These people that had departed from God, they had taken up idols. And I want to press on your mind this morning how idols work, because I feel like the Lord gave me an inspiration of that. We don't bow down to idols, just someone raises an idol. We don't turn our hearts, no, we're going to bow down to that. If someone brought a calf in here, we'd all reject it and say, get that out of here. We have no interest in that. But I find that the idols of this world are really based around an idea. There is an idealism that the enemy uses to build up in people's minds, to cause them to think if they go in this direction that they will find this ideal. Almost all of the gods of this world, all of them are based around a concept that actually is not real. It's not true. And all you have to look is at some of the heartache and some of the brokenness that exists in the people that have achieved the greatest accomplishments of this world and achieved the greatest idealism, yet their lives are still broken. Because those idols don't bring any real... They don't touch the heart and bring the satisfaction that I'm encouraging you with this morning. So when the enemy... When all of those things that are elevated and lifted up, to recognize that it's just that, to guard against that idealism that the world extends, and to realize the end of it is just bitter and broken. And if you've been corrupted by that, pulled by that, caused to lose your love for the Lord and drawn out after that, the Lord has the ability to restore in us this morning that love again for the pure things of God, that satisfaction. And it talks about a new heart. Part of that is an appetite. It speaks of an appetite. When it says the things, the issues, everything of the heart, the issues come out of the heart, that the things that you're hungry for. Think of it in that sense. What do you want to fill your time? What do you focus most on? It's a good indicator.
That's right.
And when we want the things of the world to fill that appetite, and if you tell me to lay those things down, then, oh, I don't know what I'm going to eat then. It's a warning to us. Because it means my heart is feasting on things that aren't pure, that aren't right, that aren't what God would want to bring about His light and to keep that connection and to keep the corruption out of our life. And that's what the enemy does. He causes there to be a taste and to feed an appetite. And I know there's always been, well, there's the pull of the world. It satisfies for a moment. But do you know what it does? It actually increases your appetite for more and more and more. It's not that it necessarily doesn't satisfy, because you can do it and it'll feel, but then you're hungry for more because your heart wants more. And it feeds on that corruption, and it'll kill you at the end of the day. Because we lose that connection with the Lord. So I would ask you, the appetite of your heart. And so let's put it in real terms. When there's service going on, where's my appetite? When there's a time for reading and prayer, where's my appetite? When I've got free time, what do I fill it with? What's my appetite? What do I want to eat? What do I turn to when I need an escape? And there are some things that are totally lawful. I understand that. But if your appetite isn't there, then you're going to have a problem. And I'm encouraging you this morning that he can give you a new appetite. When I come to Monarch, I lose my appetite. I have nerves and I'm not hungry. And I think a lot of us feel that. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. I like it when I get home and I eat a good meal, I'm hungry again. The Lord will give you an appetite again if you don't feel that. He'll restore that to cause there to be a hunger and a thirst. And morning by morning, the first cry of the heart is, Lord, meet me now this day. My heart's hungry for you. When we talk about this well of living water, I used to think, well, you never thirst again. But it satisfies the thirst, and I still need another drink. Again, it's not that all of my desire has gone. No, it just means it's satisfied, and it's complete. And the next day it's complete and satisfies again, and I don't need anything else then. Amen. Fully satisfied and content. Contentment. People dig wells in so many places to try to fill that, and they're dry and they're empty and there's bitter disappointment and brokenness. But the Lord's water is something that when we get a hold of it, it satisfies day in and day out. And the way that we guard that appetite is as we guard our hearts against the corruption that's in the world. The Lord is able to give you a new appetite this morning. I thought of the vessel that marred in the potter's hands. We won't take time to read it, but it says the clay marred in his hands, and then it said he made a vessel that would please him. And I'm thankful for that, because I feel like the Lord's had to reshape me 2 or 3 times. Where I feel like I made mistakes and I've stumbled, and then I have to come back and say, Lord, restore again, replace again, rework again. And I want to say something about that this morning that I have found is that while the Lord is able to give a new heart, He is able to give a new appetite, He is able to bring a satisfaction in your life that maybe you've never even experienced before. But I will tell you that some of the heartache that comes from the corruption of the world, you still have to deal with in life. And as a warning, I guess, if you allow yourself to be carried by those feelings and the appetites and you're pulled out and you lose that connection with the Lord, there is damage that is done. Damage done to yourself, to your family, to those that are around you. And as you go further and further, yes, there is a time to come back and to get a new heart. But there is still a result of all of that time that become a burden and a battle and a place of prayer and tears that you have to deal with. It's the consequences. So I want to set that almost as a warning that it's not realize. That to all of our actions and the things that we embrace, there is a result and a consequence. I'll talk about that appetite just a little bit more. Young people, it makes me chuckle because I never wanted to talk about, maybe it's because I'm 40 now, I don't know. It's like the things that I used to think weren't important are all of a sudden really important. And my children are getting to the age where they're eligible, whatever that means. And now all of a sudden, things are really important. Some teaching is all of a sudden really important. But I want to tell you, and I hate that young people, we've always heard that, young people, I want to tell you, but as you endeavor to keep your heart pure before God, and as you begin to look for a companion, look at the appetites. What is their heart hungry for? Their heart will always be hungry for you. And there's many people that will be hungry for that. The world loves the jewels that come, the innocence that comes from Church of God, from people that are fought. There's a beauty to that innocence. And there's a lot of people that have the interest in that because it shines. So as you shine as that light and you want to maintain that light, check the appetite. What are they hungry for? Besides you, what are they hungry for? What are their hearts turned towards? What do they fill their heart with? Because in the long run, that's what you're going to be dealing with. And you want to maintain that purity in your home and in your life and that connection. And you're going to wake up 10 years from now and their hunger for something is totally different than your hunger. And marriage is hard enough as it is. Everybody say amen. It's fine. Check the appetites. That's almost a side note. But this, and if you're in that place where you know that your heart is lost, that the Lord can restore it. I want to keep that as the underlying message this morning, that the Lord is able, no matter your age, to restore that again. And then I want to give you just a little counsel here in the fourth chapter of Philippians. And in the seventh verse, it says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You ever had a new car? You get a new car and you don't want to eat in it. You don't want to do anything dirty in it. You want to keep it clean. Then after a while, it loses its luster and then it still drives through and I'm in a hurry. When the Lord gives you that new heart, there is a reverence. There is a desire to protect that. It's not just a given. The Lord has to call. There has to be a conviction. And when we are fortunate enough that the mercy of God calls us to that place and He meets us and gives us that heart, then we have a responsibility to keep that heart pure. That the peace of God and all the blessings, and He teaches us then here, finally, brethren, that these are the things to feast on in your appetite to maintain that purity of heart. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, any good, any praise, think on these things. This tells me this is where the mind of Christ is. This is where His communion is. The corruption is not something that He can commune, not something that He can, it doesn't fit His nature and His spirit. So I want to keep my heart in a place where the communion with God is good, of good report. And that's for all of us to every age, all the way to the end, because the enemy will bring, all right, old folks, it's your turn. I've seen some old folks. You got a lot of time on your hands, got a lot of things to think about and talk about. And then there's just lots of, they talk about everything because there's just more time. Be careful. Don't let your mind get wrapped up in all the and to feast on. Keep your appetite on the things that are good, that are of good report. All the way to the end so you maintain that closeness and that freshness. The enemy doesn't care how old you are. He wants to find something for you to begin to spend your time and your attention on. To lose that connection. You pray for me. I fully admit. Vulnerability is a good thing. Come to this meeting and I have the same prayer. Lord, just work in there. Reign in there. Build up some places. Correct me. Teach me. And I have found that while the Lord is faithful to reign, then you still have to also deal sometimes with situations and circumstances. But the promise of God is that He will give you grace. That He'll give you power, that He'll walk with you from here on. So this morning, if you feel the need, if you have a need in your life that the Lord needs to fill this morning, to give you a new heart, to refresh, I think the Lord is here this morning to extend that to you.